So I would like us to begin by turning to the Gospel of John, chapter 9, and verse 31. Or actually, it's verse 39. So the Gospel of John, 9:39. And we're just going to look at this one verse to begin to lay that basis of the Word of God and the authority of His Scripture in regards to this next step that we want to take in our journey, in our heart and loving journey to be with the Lord according to where He is at. Not in our senses, not in the old creation way of existing, but as a new creation created in Christ Jesus, one spirit with the Lord, that we could really know Him and be with Him and live as the new creation we've been made in Christ. So I'm going to read the verse now in John. And Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they who see not might see, and that they who see might be made blind." And again, this is part of our spirit realm versus sense realm study that we've been doing. And this is the next step we're going to take. So let's read that verse again. And Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they who see not might see, and that they who see might be made blind." Okay, keep that in mind as we look at these verses. The first verses we're going to look at are in the New Testament, and then we're going to seal it up with a story out from the Old Testament. Two witnesses based on that sentence that Jesus said. Okay, so for our first one, we're just going to go over a couple chapters to John 12, and we've been in John 12 a lot. Actually, it's John 11. A lot in our journey in the sense realm, spirit realm class. I don't know why we just continue to look at Martha and Mary in this Lazarus situation, but maybe it's familiar ground and we can continue to just look into it. But there's a few things that I'd like to look at in chapter 11 of John, beginning with a very interesting sentence that Jesus again says in the middle of this situation. And if you really kind of just read through chapter 11 in John, to our natural senses, to our natural mind, this sentence that Jesus comes out with here, it kind of seems like, why did you just say that? And what does that have to do with the situation we are in? That is so unrelated to everything that's going on. And of course, that's our view, and that's coming from our own mind. But as we continue to find where He is at in the true view, it makes perfect sense. So let's look at this, maybe beginning with verse 4. And this is again chapter 11 from John. Verse 4. When Jesus heard that He said this, when Jesus heard that, He said, "The sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified in it." And that's in relation to Lazarus. Verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When He had heard, therefore, that he was sick, He abode 2 days still in the same place where He was. Then, after that, saith He to His disciples, "Let us go into Judah again." His disciples said unto Him, "Master, the Jews of late have sought to stone You, and You want to go there again?" Jesus answered them, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him." These things said He, and after that He saith unto them, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep." Okay, so in reality, this whole situation is dealing with the spiritual thing that's happening in this chapter. But out of nowhere, kind of based on a random comment, Jesus, "Why are we going to Judea when they want to stone You there, when Lazarus is in Bethany sick unto death?" you have been lingering for 2 days here, and now you want to go back to the place where the people who are killing you, want to kill you, are waiting instead of taking care of your sick friend. This is not the right move. You are really out of tune with what's happening in the sense realm. Why don't you make a right decision, you know, based on the earth and what we see going on here? And Jesus doesn't just hear the sentence. He discerns the heart, the motives and the intents. Jesus, you know, he knows more than just the words coming out of our mouths, but he hears deeper than that into our hearts. You know, his response to that is, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he sees the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there's no light in him. What light is Jesus talking about? What is this night that he speaks of? Why does he bring it up right here in this situation? What is the meaning behind that in his heart? Why is he saying that right there? These are the questions, you know, I ask the Holy Spirit. I want to know, Jesus, why did you say that? What was in your heart? What were you trying to say to these disciples? Why was that so important to you that they understand that even more than the situations of people wanting to stone you and a good friend about to die? How could this sentence be so big in your heart, bigger than I'm about to be stoned if I go over to Judea, or my friend, my good friend, is sick unto death and he's been sick for days? How come this is the issue for those close to you to understand about what's really going on? I mean, I think we really, you know, if it's a heart approach to the things we're discussing, that it's important that we stop and say, Lord, I don't want to just gain an intellectual or even a spiritual understanding of what the sense realm versus the spirit realm can mean. I need to know your heart. I need to know, why is it important that I understand what light means to you? You know, I need to understand, what is darkness to you? Jesus, I need to understand what being blind means to you. Jesus, I need to understand what having sight means to you. You know, because to me, it means that I understand that you're going to be stoned in Judea and that your friend is dying in Bethany and that these are the things I see. This is the light I walk in. This is the understanding I live by. And yet, somehow, that isn't the light you're walking in. That isn't what you're seeing. Why is that, Lord? And we can pause for a moment and consider. Jesus is going to be crucified in a couple days, literally, from this point in the gospel. And Jesus has been making his way to Jerusalem with the purpose of being there by the Passover so he might be offered up. He's walking in a different light. He's walking in a light that comes from being a lamb sent to die for others who came to give his life. He's walking in a light that isn't motivated by what people feel or think or the things happening, but something higher, something eternal, something based on who he is as the Lamb of God. His light is from above. He sees different. But his disciples, Martha, all of the people of Bethany, the people in the earth, the people that he was close to, they walked in a different light. They saw things differently. And if you look into the Word of God, if you examine the very scriptures and what the people say and what they're looking at, what they're pressing Jesus to observe, to be moved by, you'll find them bringing up circumstances down here. The Jews want to stone you. Circumstances down here. Lazarus is dying or he's sick. It's on a timetable. It's pressing. It's important. It's a crisis that you must stop everything and address, or you don't care. You know, they're going by what they see in their senses. I see trouble ahead. I see problems ahead. I see I see with my eyes, my earth eyes, with my natural senses eyes, the things that anyone can see, whether they've been born again or not. Any person who has been born and never received Christ in their heart can see that Jesus is going to be stoned, possibly, if he goes back to Judea. They can also see that Lazarus is sick and he needs help. You know, it doesn't take a move of God to observe these very real things that are happening in the earth. Anyone can see that. Anyone can see that. You don't have to be born again to see that. Anyone sees that. And yet Jesus goes, hey, there's 12 hours. 12 of them have light. 12 of them don't. The sun is with you. And he speaks of that in another chapter, in another verse of John. Walk in the light while you have the light, while the Son of God is here. Walk in the light while he is still with you, while you still have light. And he speaks of himself as the light of the world, the very person of the Son of God. John chapter 1 also says he is the light of men. He is the light. And therefore, there is a light that is to be entered into by which we see in a different way. And that light is Jesus. That light is from the realm of Jesus, not just the old creation way of seeing and understanding. That can seem very simple, but in truth, in our walk, in our daily walk, it is revolutionary to understand this. To understand it from the heart is revolutionary. It's huge. So I would like us to just take a moment now to look again at Martha. We've looked at her a lot, and we're not going to look a long time. But I'd just like to point out a few examples of how she is, as a human being, functioning by her natural senses, not by the Spirit, but by just her own natural senses of understanding. You can see that here in chapter 11 of John, verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him. Okay, so Martha is moving based on something she hears with her ears. There's a news flash or that people are talking and someone's letting her know that Jesus is almost to Bethany. He's coming and he's on his way. Martha basically just heard that with her ears. Now, of course, you know, natural ears, where she heard it. And as soon as she heard that, she went to meet him. She moved based on something she heard. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just we're seeing how she functions. It's based on something happening in the earth that's related to her in her senses. Again, there's nothing wrong with that, but that's the mode by which she's relating to the Lord and understanding him, and that's where the problem comes. And you see that down in verse 24, same chapter, chapter 11 of John. But you're seeing here in chapter 24 that it's more than just her hearing something and responding. I mean, but she moves by what she knows and what she hears and what she sees in her natural understanding and her natural senses. So, verse 24, Martha saith unto Jesus, I know, and we've spoken of this a lot, I know that Jesus, you will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. So Martha's trying to tell Jesus that she's fully aware of the situation that's going on with Lazarus. She fully understands what Jesus should do in this situation, and she's instructing him on what's needful to do. And Jesus' response to Martha is, I am the resurrection and the life. I am. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, he's going to live. Believe you this. And so, you know, he's speaking now from a place that Martha doesn't understand. His response is coming from what's true and real in him, where her responses keep coming from what she knows in her own mind, what she's understood by her own observation or teaching. She's not coming from that place of inside of him, that place of the Spirit, where she's been made one spirit with the Lord, where he is her light and her life. She's still coming from herself instead of coming from within him, where he is the light. He is the resurrection. So we can see that contrast again, just that she's going by her natural senses. And we spoke of this before, but we're going to take a little quick look at it from another angle. In verse 32, this is the same chapter 11, Mary is influenced, if you read through all the verses, you'll see it, by Martha. Martha manipulates to make Mary run out to meet Jesus with false information. Mary is influenced by Martha, kind of accusing the Lord of not caring, and it's kind of under the surface, but you can see the results of this view that Martha has taken, and it's affecting Mary here in verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and she saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. Mary fell at the feet of Jesus, and we've spoken of this so many times, the very same way she fell at his feet to kiss them, to anoint them, to minister as memorial ministry before his heart, to lift him up in his being and say, I love you for you, to show forth that honor. But this time she falls at his feet with a whole box full of sense realm information. You should have been here. If you had been here, my brother had not died. Everything she has in the box she's carrying to pour over his feet. Everything that's in her heart and mind right now that she's going to pour over the feet of Jesus when she runs up to him this time is sense realm information based on the darkness of her and Martha's understanding of the things that are happening in the earth. And instead of pouring out over his heart and finding his heart and finding his face and looking into his heart, being one with him where he's at and letting him be her light, she takes that other kind of light based on what I see in the sense realm going on in the circumstances in the earth. And she covers him with all that dirt, all that darkness. And mixed in with that dirt and that darkness is an accusation that you don't care. Pretty rough stuff. Made him cry. We've talked about that. He wept, you know. But where did that breach come from? Where did it come from, that darkness? You know, understanding by the senses, by what she saw, what she heard from Martha, how things looked in the earth. And she related to Jesus in that darkness instead of pressing past the sense realm understanding, past the blindness of her own view, past the ignorance of her own understanding, into what do you see, Jesus? You are the light. What do your eyes see? Jesus, what's in your heart? Let that be my understanding. I don't want to lean to my understanding. I want to follow you. What's in your heart with this? God, you are the one who really sees and knows the eternal things of the spirit of your heart that are going on here. She didn't rush up to him and say, oh, head of the church, in whom are the eyes that see? Tell me, how do I look at this? What is your heart in this? What is the Spirit of God doing in this? Instead, she brought all of her own view and all of her own concerns and all that the earth said, all that people thought. And she told him, this is what's going on, this darkness that I'm pouring over you. This is light. No, what's in him is light. And all this is darkness and blindness. You know, and he came to bring us into his light. He came that we would not live in the senses, but by oneness with the Son, the bright shining Lamb of God. I am come into this world that they who see not might see, and that they who see might be made blind. The problem here was Martha saw. The problem here was Mary saw. They needed to be made blind to the sense realm so they could receive the sight that is the light, which is Christ, from the spirit realm reality, what he sees. At this point, Mary and Martha, they need to be made blind. How? Just blind like people who can't see, and blind to understanding things by their natural senses. Lean not to your own understanding. Don't trust in your view. Let the Lord be your source and your light. So Mary needs to be made blind, and so does Martha, and so do I. I don't want to understand by what I see. I want Jesus to be my eyes. I want to be blind to functioning by the senses so that I might see through my union with Christ, that I might see through his eyes, that by oneness with him I might understand these things. And so we're going to see a picture of that also in the Old Testament. Let's turn now to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6, and this is an Old Testament picture of the same principle that we just looked at in chapter 11 of John. And I have the Message Bible, and I kind of like its translation of these verses. It's simple, and you know, we may need to read it from the King James Version as well, but I'd like to begin just reading it here. I think it's verse 8 that we'll start with. So this is 2 Kings chapter 6, and we're starting with verse 8. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and read now. One time when the king of Aram was at war with Israel, after consulting with his officers, he says, "At such and such a place I want an ambush set." The holy man sent a messenger to the king of Israel. "Watch out when you're passing this place, because Aram has set an ambush there." And that holy man is Elijah, by the way. So Elijah's telling the king of Israel, "Hey, watch out when you're passing by this place. King Aram has set an ambush there." So the king of Israel sent word concerning the place which Elijah had warned him about. This kind of thing happened all the time. So the king of Aram was furious over all of this. He called his officers together and said, "Tell me, who is leaking information to the king of Israel? Who is the spy in our ranks?" But one of his men said, "No, my master, dear king, it's not any of us. It's Elijah, that prophet in Israel. He tells the king of Israel everything you say, even what you whisper in your bedroom." The king said, "Go and find out where he is. I'll send someone and capture him." The report came back, "Elijah's in Dothan." So then he dispatched horses and chariots, an impressive fighting force. They came by night and surrounded the city where Elijah was. So early in the morning, a servant of Elijah got up and went out. "Surprise! Horses and chariots surrounding the city!" The young man exclaimed, "Oh, Master Elijah, what shall we do?" Elijah said, "Don't worry about it. There are more on our side than on their side." Then Elijah prayed, "Oh God, open the eyes of my servant so that he can see." So the eyes of the young man, his servant, were opened, and he saw. A wonder! The whole mountainside was full of horses and chariots of fire surrounding Elijah. When the Armenians attacked, Elijah prayed to God, "Strike these people blind." And God struck them blind, just as Elijah said. Then Elijah called out to them, "Not that way, not this city. Follow me, and I'll lead you to the man you are looking for." So Elijah led them into Samaria. As they entered the city, Elijah prayed, "Oh God, open their eyes so they can see where they are." God opened their eyes. They looked around. They were trapped in Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elijah, "Father, shall I massacre this lot?" "Not on your life," said Elijah. "Don't lift a hand to capture them." And now you're you didn't lift a hand to capture them, and now you're going to kill them? No, sir. Make a feast, a huge feast for them, and then send them back to their master. So the king prepared a huge feast for them. After they ate and drank their fill, he dismissed them. Then they returned home to their master. The raiding bands of Aram did not bother Israel any more. So that's the story we're going to look at. And there's a few points in this story that I think are beautiful. This is an Old Testament story, so it's type and shadow of the reality that Jesus Christ is as the fulfillment of all these things. So it is shadowy, but within it, I mean, I am pressing in to hear the heart of the Lord and to seek what he's trying to say here for me. But I believe that there's a great picture here of a man, Elisha, who is functioning in the Spirit, not just the Spirit of, I have received a prophetic word from the Lord, or I see deep things because the Spirit of God shows me. You know, to me, that's very much not us being one with Jesus, because we have been crucified with Christ, and now Christ is our life and our head and our eyes. That's simply someone boasting in a gift God gave them to make them spiritual and better than others. Jesus said the Bible and the Old Testament included testify of me, Christ crucified, not of us being made better by gifts of the Spirit. So I believe that the picture that's going on here is a picture of someone who is so joined with Jesus and allowed Jesus, the Son of God, to be their light, to be their eyes, to show what's really going on from his view in the spirit of the thing, the eternal view of the thing, what God is doing well beyond the circumstance in the earth, that it filters right down to seeing specifically, listen, God is in control, and what it looks like isn't what's happening. And we can see that principle at work in John chapter 11 with the Lazarus situation, that it looked like there's so many more with Lazarus crying, he's dying, it's doom, it's defeat, it's the end, it's desperation. And of course, Jesus is the fulfillment. He is that light. He is the sun with many eyes. And he's saying, why are you, you know, this is not what you think it is. I have eyes to see this well beyond this moment in time, well above this earth crisis. I am seeing the glory of God coming out of this situation. I see so much of God's glory fixing to break forth to all generations from this. And all you see are horses and chariots, called the enemy making Lazarus sick even unto death. The enemy that the Judeans are you know, going to stone Jesus. The enemy that Jesus is so ridiculously blind that he'd go right at Judah. He's so out of tune that he'd wait 4 days. He's so blind. You know, you can see, wait a second, what's wrong with my view here? God is the one who sees, and we are blind. Yet we think we see, because we see that Lazarus is sick. We see that this is this situation, it's bad. So we think we know more than Jesus. And yet Jesus says, you're blind to what's really going on. You don't have the right light. You're coming from the wrong eyes. Those eyes that see by the sense realm need to be made blind so you can see from my eyes, being one spirit with me above all this. Same thing with Elijah. Elijah's is going, I see. By God's eyes, what's going on here? My servant, he only sees the enemy surrounding us and defeating us. Father, God, you know, Elijah prays, Father, God, open the eyes of my servant so they can see what's really happening. And as soon as that servant's eyes were opened, Elijah's servant's eyes were opened, he saw, oh my gosh, God is well in control. God is moving in a way that doesn't even appear to be happening when I look through my own eyes. God is moving. God is at work in this. God is in control. God is here, and we knew it not. You know? And then, even in the midst of this story, we see that once Elijah's servant sees, Elijah prays, make these, was it Elijah who prayed or God who did it? Make these people who think they're defeating us blind. And what a physical manifestation of a spiritual reality happened at that moment when Elijah prayed that, and that blindness came upon the enemies of God's people, that they thought they understood what was going on, that they were defeating the people of God, that they had surrounded the people of God, that they were winning and the people of God were being defeated. But they were basing all of that view on the fact that they were surrounding the people, that they were overcoming the people, that they were in charge because they had the power and the strength. But in reality, they were blind. What were they blind to? Well, maybe not just that God's in control. Maybe not just that the Spirit's doing something. My personal belief is that they were blind to the Lamb of God. That they were blind. In the book of Revelation, it says the Lamb is the light. Not just the Son of God is the light. Not just Jesus Christ is the light. The Lamb is the light. And the Lamb overcomes by giving himself unto death. He overcomes. So they think they're winning because they've got everyone outnumbered and everyone surrounded and everyone defeated by their strength and their numbers in the earth. But in reality, the Lamb of God is going to be the one who has victory. The Lamb of God is the one who has surrounded this thing with something much greater than those armies and those chariots. How do I breathe that in? And maybe you have to ask the Lord if this is right. This is what I feel in my heart. You have to go to your Father and your relationship with the Holy Spirit in the Scriptures to make your decision. I'm just sharing from my heart as a sister in the Lord, not a teacher. But to me, the end of the story kind of shows that it is the Lamb, because he leads them all into Samaria. When they're made blind, the king of Israel leads them into Samaria, which is their enemy. And when they open up their eyes and they realize they're in Samaria, he said, you know, you thought you were free and you were conquering, but once you see where you really are, you're in bondage to Samaria. You're not free. You're stuck in the earth. You're being overcome by your enemies too. You're not free because you're overcoming your enemies and devouring others and pushing and getting your way and looking stronger. You're overcome by a greater enemy. Samaria is the picture and type in this. But you're in bondage. You're blind to the real thing. And when you open your eyes, you're going to see that you're in bondage to this earth and to your enemies. You're not in control because you look like you're overcoming. But it's the Lamb's wisdom that's more than just showing them that they're in bondage. But because Elijah says, make a huge feast for them. Do not hand them over to the Samaritans, which the Samaritans would have killed them. The Samaritans would have done them in. Instead, he said, I just want you to see that you're in bondage. I want you to see the truth of your situation, enemy of God, is that you're not a reigning king conquering. You're in bondage too. But the Lamb of God is not going to hand you over to your enemy. The Lamb of God's going to die for you. The Lamb of God is going to lay his life down. That's the kind of light that we have. And we're going to make a big feast for our enemies. And we're going to bless those who cursed us. And we're going to cover those who came to slaughter us. And we're going to release the spirit that comes from this way of seeing. We're going to release the life that is this light. And we're going to bless our enemy. And we're going to let this light be the life within us that we walk by. The Lamb is the light and a lamp for our feet. It's in this Lamb light that we walk. When we can really, really see, when we really, really have spirit realm light, and we really walk in the spirit, when we really walk in the spirit realm reality, what do? We bless our enemies. We pray for those who persecute us. We make a feast for those who are mocking us. We cover those who uncovered us. This is the Lamb that is our light. This is the way the light that is the spirit realm reality functions. It doesn't just make us gifted prophets and anointed seers who are so much more spiritual than everyone else because we have a gift to see. No, we are dead. We are crucified with Christ. And the only way we have light to see now is because Christ is our life. And he is our head. And in the head is the eyes. And by union with him, we see. And by his eyes, we see everything as an opportunity to lay our life down. Lamb eyes. Eyes that see altars. Eyes that see opportunities to give yourself for others to get life. And with those eyes, we don't just convince people, you're blind and we see. Look at you, enemy of God. You're blind, but really we see. You're weak, but really God's with us. Boy, sure, that's the wrong kind of light. If we really have the light of the spirit realm reality and we really walk in that instead of the sense realm, then we say, hey, you aren't as powerful as you think you are. You're in bondage. You're in bondage to this whole system of devouring one another, of overcoming one another with power and strength, of pushing each other down and pressing each other with your rights. You're in bondage. But listen, we aren't in bondage. We do see, and what we see is Lamb, and what we have is Lamb light. And therefore, we're going to make a big old feast for you. We're going to set you free and bless you. Because that's what seeing, really seeing, by oneness with the slaughtered Lamb, through his eyes, does. And by this we know our blindness is removed. We love one another. We love one another. And this is love, that we lay our lives down. This is what spirit realm reality light brings us. A view that no human would ever have. A view that comes only from the one who sits upon the throne, and that is the very Lamb of God, who was slain and is slain, that his life might continue to pour out to others. You know, so we're seeking to not live in the sense realm, and we're seeking to have light. But once again, the pursuit of our heart is now and ever shall be the Lamb of God, the groom, our husband, the slaughtered Lamb who is our light and our life. By him we understand all things. By him we truly see. Lord, we can't understand down here in the darkness of our view, of our circumstances that affect us. Only as we see that we are dead, that our life, we've been crucified with Christ, we are dead, and our life is now hid with Christ in God, and he is our life, our affections are set up there in him, that we can truly begin to see, Lord. We can truly begin to see. Father, we ask now that your Spirit would come, not to anoint us with giftings, but to the opening of the eyes of our hearts, that we might realize we are dead, and Christ is our light. The Lamb of God is our light. He is the light of the city. He is the lamp for our feet. He is the eyes by which we understand life down here in this earth. We can't understand it by any other light. It won't make sense. We won't really truly walk in the Spirit because we'll still seek for ourselves. We'll still seek for ourselves. We won't embrace the altar, and we won't even see the altar. We'll only see good and evil, right and wrong, my rights and their rights. We'll never really see by the light which is God. So we humble ourselves. We ask that you'd open the eyes that we might see through Jesus, that he might be light in us that filleth every man. Oh God, we long after you. We long after oneness with you in this way. We long for your eyes to guide us. To guide us with your eyes, Lamb of God. To be our sight, O Lord Jesus. Bless your people that truly long after you in this way. May the light which is Lamb fill them in ways unimaginable and eternal to all that is in your heart for your good pleasure. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.